This is Sheffield Live.
We're open for business live.
Morning, it's just after 9 o'clock.
I'm Jamie Veitch and I'm your host for the next hour for Sheffield Live's business and social enterprise programme, Business Live. And we are broadcasting live from the Sheffield Live radio studio here in the centre of Sheffield. We're going out on FM radio and online, and however you're listening, the show will also be available as a podcast later on from the Sheffield Live website. So, talking podcasts, did you hear last week's show? Did you know that hallmarks tell a story? Yes. Beyond actually proving the validity of the precious metal, whether that's gold, silver, palladium, they tell another story as well. Or platinum, I should have mentioned too. They tell another story as well. And there is a really fascinating story behind hallmarking and the Sheffield Assay Office. And we heard it last week from Ashley Carson, of the Sheffield Assay Office. He's the master there, and he has been in post for 25 years. It was absolutely fascinating. Ashley held us spellbound. So if you missed that, then check the podcast on the Sheffield Live website. But as we always say, that was then, this is now. Who is on today? Well, we've got a really exciting lineup of guests in the studio with us today. I'm really, really pleased to welcome Rob Sandham and Greg Clark of Uber. We have Alan Holland of Dark Peak, and then we'll have Jamie Gray of Buddy Burst joining us on the programme later on. It's a packed programme. Exciting stuff indeed. But before we turn to our guests, what's going on with you? What have you been up to? What's been going on with your business or social enterprise? You can get in touch. Send me a text, 07904 272 200. Find me on Twitter, Jamie Veitch. Find Sheffield Live on Twitter as well. And of course, drop me an email, jamie@sheffieldlive.org, because we're always interested in hearing from you, your reaction to guests. Put yourself forward if you want to be on the show. Comment on something that is going on and how it will affect you. Well, whatever, really. We're here and we'd like to hear from you. So what do you think of the budget? How's that going to affect your business or social enterprise? Have you got a reaction? Would you like us to read it out on air? If you contact me during the show today, then I might be able to read out your reactions later on. So do get in touch. We're always keen to hear from you. But without further ado, I think it's time to turn to our first guests of today. And I'm really pleased to welcome Greg Clark and Rob Sandham of Uber to the studio. Good morning, Greg and Rob.
Morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Cold.
It is. It's a cold and... Yes, it's how did it get like this so quickly?
I don't know. It's good, it's fun, kidding.
But it's really interesting to bring you in, and I want to start, if you can introduce Uber, because listeners might be thinking, oh, what is he doing bringing the taxi firm into the studio? But he hasn't. What is Uber?
Right, okay. Uber is an advertising agency. That's been going for 15 years. So it precedes a certain taxi app by about 6 years.
Yeah.
So we do anything from TV to digital campaigns to brand development, you know.
Okay.
It's an integrated agency.
Grand. And what about you two? So I know your roles there, but can you introduce yourselves? What do you do?
I'm MD,
yeah.
But I come from a creative background,
yeah.
And I started the agency along with partners way back when.
Way back when, yeah,
yeah.
Sure thing. And Rob?
And I'm creative director.
Grand. Okay. So as an agency, what kind of work do you do, and who do you work with? What are the type of clients who you work for and work with?
We've worked with the likes of DFS. We had those for about 9 years, doing everything from TV to press to everything. There's some crazy stat that in our 15 years, we've produced over 4,800 TV commercials, which
right.
Doesn't even compute. It's crazy. To work in, we've done award-winning films for BAFTA. We work with Tombola. We do all their TV. We're just currently doing their sponsorship items for I'm a Celebrity, which
yeah.
is great, because which goes live in November. We've got 2 weeks to finish that. No pressure.
No pressure at all.
Yeah, which is good.
But we're full service. We do everything from TV and digital and onwards, basically. We don't have a specific type of client. We work across the room. Brilliant local brands, national and international brands.
Yeah, we've just the lovely people at Keebles Solicitors in Sheffield. We've just done their rebrand, which is a fantastic project and can be seen on the side of their building.
Yeah,
which now anybody to we've worked for the UN, we've worked for the Kazakhstan government.
Have you really?
Yeah, yeah.
And what did
we've,
you do?
We've
there?
Done some crazy stuff. So it was non-proliferation of nuclear weapons. Right. It was a campaign to run globally and in New York Times Square and stuff to basically communicate, because Kazakhstan was a testing ground for Russia's nuclear weapons.
Indeed.
So we did a huge campaign to convince people that that's a pretty bad thing to do.
Yeah.
You know.
And how did they find you? Was that on the basis of the reputation? That
searching for the best agency in Europe.
Oh, very
and,
good.
Yeah,
very good.
Oh, yeah,
why
very
limited
good.
To Europe? Just go world.
Yeah.
Just go full global.
Yeah. I hope they weren't looking for a taxi and found us by mistake. No, so it was good because their head office was in Washington, so we were dealing with people in the US and stuff. It was exciting. Very sad and the hardest thing I've ever personally ever had to do.
Yes.
On that note. But great and exciting stuff and very diverse from... Yeah. Keeble Solicitors to nuclear weapons.
Well, absolutely, indeed. So there is a real diversity there from working with local professional services firms through to national furniture firms through to international government-backed projects and huge diversity.
Yeah.
Really, really interesting in terms of the work. How do you do it? What's your approach? I mean, you say you have a TV ad, for example, going live in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Has that been a process that's taken months and months and months? Or did you get a phone call last week saying, can you make this TV
I shouldn't
ad?
Say this, really, but we've had TV commercials we've turned around in a week.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, we have so much planned in for a year ahead. And, you know, as I said before, we've done it a lot. So, you know, we're very slick, like you and your radio show. You've been doing it a long time, so we know what we're doing.
Well, I've been doing it a long time, but I'm not sure about the slickness.
I'm not encouraging anybody to give us a TV ad to turn around in a week.
No.
But it's kind of whatever needs to be done. You just, it's horses for courses. But, we've got a process. We're doing the creative. We use production companies to produce that and post-production companies to build 3D scorpions that we're doing at the minute, which is, you know, it's not really work, is it?
sounds like fun. A lot of fun. And what were you each doing then? You set up the agency, Greg, so...
I was wishing I worked somewhere like Uber.
So we made it happen.
Yeah, to be fair, that's why we set up Uber, to...
Yeah.
It is actually to create a place that we'd always wanted to work. So, but I worked in other agencies. I was just saying, I worked in this building about 20 years ago.
Right.
At an agency that was in here. So I've worked at a fair few agencies before we decided to do Uber.
Grand. Super. What about you, Rob?
Yeah, feels like a long time ago, but some of the biggest agencies in Manchester before I came to Uber. So, yeah.
Grand, super. So I wanted to ask you a specific question that really chimes with something you've put out recently. And I think before I actually ask the question, we will play a clip. So I'm going to play this. It's about a 46-second clip. And then we can ask you about it.
What are you doing?
Nothing.
Where are you going?
Going to Whitby.
You're going to London, aren't you?
No.
It says on the board, London.
Oh, why? Why, why?
I've heard that they do things proper in London.
Oh, my days. What do you think we do? Do you think we're just messing about?
Look, are you happy with the creative?
Yes.
Are you happy with the strategy?
Yes.
The service?
Yes.
Are you happy with what you are paying?
Yes.
Then why are you going to London?
Somebody told me that some London agencies have slides in their offices.
Oh, I'll take you to a play, Jim. Come on.
So that was part of a fantastic film that you've created and published. And what has been the reaction to that? And and you've put that out because I suppose it's fair to say, well, is there a perception that some London agencies are better than agencies in smaller cities outside of London?
Right, so many questions. So, yeah, it sounds really strange listening to that out of context and just the sound. So, yeah, it was a film that we've put out. It's about a three-minute film, which is it's a proper bit of fun, really. We do campaigns for ourselves that are very targeted and very strategic, and then we do things like this, which is not that. This was me and Rob sat in a room mucking about, saying, wouldn't it be funny if we did this? Because it was about this idea that, what are we? What is Uber? And what does it stand for? And what are we known for? And things. And I says, you know, came to this thing, well, we're like a London agency, just in Sheffield.
Yeah.
And what does that mean? And we sort of joked about the fact that let's do this film, which is kind of like a love story, like a Jimmy Stewart film with a couple on a train station. And it happens to be a client and a creative.
Yes.
Not the traditional thing. And the creative finds his client sneaking off to London because he's heard that they have slides in their offices and other things about it. And just to have a bit of fun. So normally we have these stupid conversations and don't do anything about it and get on with important client work. But in this instance, we sort of went and filmed it and got some great actors to do it and put it out there. And it's been...
The response we've had has been fantastic.
Phenomenal. We've had over 70,000 hits in a week.
Have you really?
Yeah, across different media and lots of campaigns and stuff, and it's just
lots of positive messages, which is it's a very nervous thing for us to do, I think, but we decided to go ahead with it, and it's worked out really well, I think. It's
wonderful.
People have seen the humour in it,
yeah,
the tongue-in-cheek nature of it, I think.
Yeah,
and it's to be clear, we're having a pop at ourselves. We're sending ourselves up as much as London, as much as that whole thing, you know. But if everybody goes and watches the film, just to be clear to everybody out there, it's not Sheffield train station. It's a place called Oakworth in Haworth. Yeah. And we did have one person actually think it was Sheffield, so they obviously haven't been to Sheffield for about 100 years. it's not Sheffield. But yeah, it's been good. And look, you know, is there any truth in it? I think, look, you know, we kind of... if you want a massive networked agency, if you want the big, the huge agencies, then obviously people are going to go to London for that, because there's not many that can sort of compete on that level. But if you want great creative, if you want great strategy, if you want great service, you can get that anywhere, particularly in Sheffield, particularly with us. And you know, but there's many great places. And I think that's what we're just trying to communicate to creatives alike, that, you know, everybody doesn't have to flock to London, unless you want to go see Buckingham Palace. And, you know, it's a lovely place. And there's some fantastic agencies in London, we know that. But I think it's just that perception, the cliche, which is just don't believe the cliche, believe in yourself.
Well, I love the film clip itself. I mean, the audio we've just heard from it, the excerpt, was great, of course, to hear. We got a real flavour there. But if you watch the film clip, the sort of guilty look on the guy's face when he's sort of...
he's been caught.
Yeah. Red-handed.
Red-handed. Yeah. Cheating.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. It's great. It's well worth watching. So so have a watch of the clip, and we'll tell you where to watch it in a couple of minutes, because it's well worth seeing if you're not one of the 70,000 people who've already viewed the clip. But you've obviously had great feedback to it.
Yes, it's super. Yeah.
Has it ruffled anyone's feathers? Has anyone sort of said, oh, come on, guys, you're...
A few. We sort of sent it out in different ways, and we've had... some people from London upset. Why would you have a pop at the place I live, the place I work, my agency? It's like, sorry.
Well, perhaps just tell them to have another sip of their shandy.
Shandy. Right. Yep. A very expensive cocktail.
But one question actually that I think is worth asking is, do Sheffield agencies sometimes suffer from either a skill shortage or from a the sort of effect of talented homegrown folk who've worked with you, been nurtured by you, really talented, being sucked away to London or bigger cities by bigger agencies that, I don't know whether they offer more money in terms of salaries or rewards. Is there a skill shortage here? Has that affected you?
I think there will inevitably be people that want to go down because the perception is there are bigger and better agencies down in London. I don't think there is a shortage of talent. We certainly haven't seen that anyway because we get inundated with great CVs, great people wanting to work with us. I think we're in a fortunate position that we've got a great reputation. We work, as I said at the beginning, we work with some brilliant brands, both locally and nationally, and we work on some really high-profile stuff. So we're going to attract some great people, and I personally think we've got the best people we could get, and they're certainly the best people I've ever worked with from a team. So
thanks.
apart from Greg.
very happy to host the love-in.
Exactly, yeah. I don't necessarily think so.
Yeah. I think, you know, the London agencies, fantastic people, but they're not fantastic people from London, are they? There's Yorkshire folk, there's people from all over the world working in those agencies, great creative hubs. And that's it, yes, it's... Sometimes there are the people that are going to leave, and people do go from Sheffield to Leeds and to Manchester and stuff like that. But I think, you know, things are changing. The news that Channel 4 is coming to Leeds is fantastic news. Yeah. It's a fantastic creative brand that's showing and believing that there is a life outside London. So, you know, that's a fantastic opportunity for many.
Grand, super. And you talked a bit about this earlier, but I know that... For agencies who are engrossed in creating wonderful campaigns for their clients, it can be really difficult to market yourselves. And like you were saying earlier, you know, you sort of sit around brainstorming, come up with a great idea. And quite often, you know, you've had a great idea on perhaps how you could do a campaign for Uber for yourselves, but you don't do it because you're too busy doing client work.
Sure.
You're in demand.
Yeah.
You've made this one happen. It's had a great response. But are agencies quite often sort of just far too busy to market themselves?
I think if it's the cliche, if you ask anybody in an agency, they'll say, you know, the worst thing they do is market themselves. Yeah.
It's the hardest job.
And it's the hardest jobs. Yeah. And also you're so critical of everything you do.
Yeah.
It's kind of the website takes you 3 years to do because it's got to be absolutely amazing and spot on and everything like that. So I think there are big undertakings, but I think, you know, as with this that we've done in the past, you just got to go with stuff and you've got to find the time and push it. And I think most importantly for us, with our stuff, we take our clients' work incredibly seriously, but ourselves not so much. And we everything we do for ourselves has to be fun and stuff, which encourages this.
I don't think we actively go out and promote ourselves. We just come up with ideas that we like, we want to do, and if we get some promotion out of it, brilliant. We've got a section on our website which is fun, and it is just exactly that. It's just fun stuff, irreverent things. There are some odd things in there, some relevant bits in there, but it's just fun.
10 years old, we did a video, like a fly on the wall documentary, of a day in the life of Uber.
Yeah.
To show everybody what it was like being 10 years old. But we got everybody in the agency to be played by a 10-year-old kid. Which was, you know, the saying, don't ever work with children and animals. The longest day we've ever done in our lives, I think. The kids were amazing.
Yeah. And 16 hours of filming, and they were fantastic.
And they were brilliant work. They were fantastic.
Super.
But yeah, hard, but great fun. And again, so yeah. And we've now got to come up with something else after this.
Well, great to hear the success of it and how well received it's been.
Thank you.
And I'm going to have to wrap up by giving you the opportunity to flag up where people can see the film and where people can find fun on the Uber website. Do you want to give links?
So you can either look on our website and there is a link on the homepage, or just go to londonboundfilm.com.
which and our website is uberagency.com.
Brilliant. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time
to come in today.
Greg, Rob of Uber, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And you're listening to Business Live, Sheffield Live's weekly business and social enterprise programme with me, Jamie Veitch. I've just been talking with Greg and Rob from Uber. Check them out on the Uber Agency's website and watch this film. It is marvellous. It was marvellous. It still is marvellous. Great. So in a few minutes' time, we'll take a break for a track of music. But before we do that, I just wanted to bring Alan Holland into the studio, Alan Holland of Dark Peak. Good morning, Alan.
Hi, good morning, Jamie.
Thanks very much for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great. We're going to do a full interview with you in a couple of weeks' time.
Dreading it.
You're going to be absolutely marvellous. But I wanted to bring you in today because I've heard about a fantastic crowdfunding campaign that you're launching next week and a little bit about the product that you're putting out there. So perhaps you can just briefly tell me what it is that you'll be putting out to the world next week and what you do.
Yeah, sure. So we are launching our very first product on Kickstarter next week. We are a Sheffield-based outerwear brand. Our mission is to sell high-performance outerwear, but instead of operating the traditional retail model, we decided to do something a little bit different and operate what's called a one sold, one given model.
Yes.
And so in that, for every jacket we sell, we donate a jacket to the homeless. So that's basically us.
Right, great. So these jackets, what sort of jackets are they?
Yeah, so our first product is called the Nesh jacket, which your listeners might know the term. But it's a high-performance insulated mid-layer. It's got the best insulation and materials that meet or exceed the big retail-centric brands put out there. We think we've got basically one of the best insulated mid-layers on the planet. It actually comes in two different insulations. It's 850 fill power responsibly sourced goose down or a premium synthetic fill that mimics the insulation properties of down.
Grand. And you're launching a Kickstarter campaign in support of it and people will be able to get their own next week. Order their own through the crowdfunding site next week. But tell me about how this will work in terms of people buying one and one then being given to a homeless person.
Yeah, so we're working with various charities in both the UK and in the US, and the way it works is that we essentially we would donate actually in bulk, and the jacket we actually give isn't actually the same as the one that we sell for many reasons. Like a high performance down jacket isn't actually really fit for the needs of people without permanent shelter. So we're actually working with those charities to develop a jacket that really fits the needs of those people. It's got slightly different specs. It doesn't have a lot of the bells and whistles that the Nesh jacket does, but it basically is designed specifically to last a long time, keep people warm. And so we, working with those charitable partners, our intent is to give one jacket for everyone sold in the country that the person who bought the jacket is based. So if we sell a jacket in the UK, we donate to a UK charity. Yeah. If we sell a jacket to the US, we donate to a US charity.
Okay, great. So someone buying a jacket in Sheffield, from Sheffield, a jacket will be donated to someone in the UK.
It will, yeah. And ideally, as we grow and down the road, we'd love it become even more micro than that. So it would be great to essentially, if someone in Sheffield bought a jacket, that someone in Sheffield would actually get a jacket. And likewise, you'd actually reduce the area that you're donating jackets to. But initially, we're working kind of with more broader national-based charities in order to get those donations out.
Yes, I see. Great. And so what's the target for the campaign on Kickstarter?
So our target is £15,000.
Yeah.
The jackets are going to be available at a super early bird price, which is going to be at about £115. I think we've just about locked that in. And there's only going to be a limited number available at that price, and then the price goes up from there. So if people are really interested, I'm going to plug us now. So you can basically go to our website. It will redirect you, go to www.darkpeakgear.com. Otherwise, just go to the Kickstarter platform next Tuesday afternoon and search for the Nesh jacket, the warmest jacket in the world.
The warmest jacket in the world. Wow. Okay, great. Well, Alan, thanks for doing that. Thanks for coming in today. I really appreciate you doing so. And I want to ask you loads and loads more questions. There are loads more questions that I have and listeners will have. And we're going to have to save those for a couple of weeks' time when you're coming in for a full interview. So we'll have 25 minutes to ask you questions then. But in the meantime, do you want to just give the URL out, the website address out, one more time?
Yes. So people can find it. That'd be great, yeah. www.darkpeakgear.com.
Brilliant. Well, Alan, thank you so much and all the best with the campaign. I'll look forward to speaking with you live on air in a couple of weeks' time and finding out how it's been going.
Thanks very much. Looking forward to it.
Superb. Well, this is Business Live, our weekly business and social enterprise programme here on Sheffield Live. And we've had a fascinating chat with Greg and Rob from Uber. And we've heard all about them and why their film has gone viral. Gone viral? Yes, 70,000 people have watched their film about the perception of agencies. It was great. If you've only just tuned in and you've missed a chat with Rob and Greg, and then a super interesting chat with Alan Holland of Dark Peak about a forthcoming crowdfunding campaign launching next week. Don't panic. The podcast of today's programme will be up on the Sheffield Live website from about 11 a.m, so you'll be able to catch it then. But we're still only halfway through. We have another guest to come, and we'll be getting him on the phone in a few minutes. Jamie Gray, founder and CEO of Buddyburst. Before we do, it's time for us to play a track of music, and mischievously, I had to choose this by Neil McSweeney, local music hero. But the track, and I'm really sorry Greg and Rob, but the track is London Road, and we'll play it now.
This is Sheffield Live.
We're open for Business Live.
This is Business Live, Sheffield Live's weekly business and social enterprise programme with me, Jamie Veitch. And we found someone else called Jamie to speak with today. Jamie Gray, founder and CEO of Buddyburst, is on the line with us. Jamie, good morning.
Good morning, Jamie. Great name.
You too. How are you today? How are you today?
I'm a little bit jaded. I had quite a late one last night. I went to this it's called Reboot the Future, which it was an event hosted by an agency called 100,
right.
Who are part of Omnicom Group.
Yes. Yeah.
And I was a little bit out of my depth. There were lords and princesses and, you know, and sirs. So I was meeting a huge number of people. And
did you enjoy it?
Oh, it was wonderful. We actually donated some products to the organisation. One of our seeded paper bags,
right?
Which were given out to, I think there's about 100 people there.
Gosh.
And I got a great shout out from the host, John O'Brien. So yeah, it kind of maybe well up a little bit, but it was a great evening. So I had to catch up when I got back, and I was working till sort of 2 a.m.
Right, yeah. So a late one and an exciting evening, but worthwhile. Well, I think we'd better start, if we can, by introducing Buddyburst. What you do?
Sure.
So what is Buddyburst? What do you do, Jamie?
So I set Buddyburst up about two and a half years ago with the idea to help brands grow in a sustainable way through the use of our eco-friendly promotional products. So my background is advertising and marketing. I saw a gap in the market where a lot of businesses were giving away tat, as I call it, whether that's, you know, single-use plastics in terms of pens or lanyards or USBs. And you're never going to get away from some of those items. But I wanted to try and offer something a little bit different. In its place, a lot of our products are seed-based because there's so many benefits, I think, or there are proven in growing something, whether that's, you know, helping to save money or enriching your food or, you know, helping protect the environment. There's also a good nurturing skill for kids. And it's good for relaxation and something to do with your partner. So I've started to work with brands to buy the our seed-based products, one of them of which we manufacture in the UK in a small little factory in Slough, which is called a seed stick, which is a derivative of the matchbook, but it's got seed on the end instead of the striking end. So you tear one of these sticks off and you plant it, and out will grow a mint or serrano or rosemary or thyme, etc. So yeah.
Right, brilliant. So rather than promotional tat branded merchandise that is horrible, this is a beautiful product, a great idea.
Thank you.
It's I love the fact that you sort of you open up the seed stick pack, you tear off a stick, you plant it, and something wonderful happens. Something grows. And
absolutely,
yeah.
So and we started with the seed stick, and then added other products: seed packets, seeded paper, which is paper impregnated with seed, seeded pencils, which has got seed on the end of the pencil instead of the rubber. And then we've looked at other products that we can kind of help brands, you know, in their sustainable goals, whether it's reusable coffee cups, which are very topical, or water bottles. We've just done a run of, I think it was 5,000 biodegradable ponchos for a hotel in London. So we're just trying to grow our range, pardon the pun, as we get slightly older and offer more of a fuller range to our clients, who range from, you know, big, huge blue chip Accenture and EY, yes, all the way down to, you know, a small hotel in Scotland.
Right. Okay. So the type of people you're working with is quite diverse, and are
Absolutely,
they
yeah.
all over the UK, or are you?
I mean, yeah. Sorry to interrupt you. Our home market is obviously the UK, and 90% of our sales are here. We've got some clients in Denmark and Germany, France, and the US, Bahrain, bizarrely. It's difficult to, especially with our seed-based products, to sell outside of Europe because of import legislation. So within Europe, we can send anything quite freely, and it's quite easy. So we do a show in January in Düsseldorf for our European clients. We did it for the first time this year, and it's a great success, and we're doing it next year. And we've got funding from Department of International Trade,
yes,
which was great. So fundamentally, our clients are mostly based in the UK, but we're just trying to grow that as and when we can.
Yes, right, great. And I want to ask for some advice on exporting and distributing and growth overseas in a couple of minutes. Just before I do that, from looking at the website and seeing how people have been using seed sticks in terms of the examples that you've given in the photographs on the site, there are some really innovative ideas that clients are using them for, some exciting ideas and uses. Perhaps you can describe some of the ways different folk have used seed sticks.
Yeah, of course, we work. So one of our biggest clients is a restaurant chain in London.
Yeah.
Called Wahaca, W-A-H-A-C-A, which is named after the place in Mexico. Different spelling, though.
Yeah.
Probably easy for us ignorant Brits.
Yeah.
But we provide them with a million of our Serrano seed sticks a year, and they give them out to everyone that eats at their restaurant. So if you and I, Jamie, were having lunch or dinner, When the bill comes over, they present it with one of our seed sticks, and it's great to see. I've been in Wahaca many a time, because I don't really get the opportunity to see people enjoying our product or the shock value, or you know, what is this kind of ambiguity. That's one way that we work with one of our clients. We've just developed a bottleneck for a couple of gin brands, where our seed stick is fundamentally just got a hole at the back, but it's, you know, you can use juniper and mint as a kind of a garnish for gin. So how do these gin brands make a difference on, you know, the shelf of Sainsbury's or Tesco's or wherever? And we're hoping one of our product can help make that difference. You know, with companies have used them internally as a way of pushing their sustainability goals to their employees, who they then hope will then push them out to their customers. So JCDecaux,
yeah,
the media company, used it for that. Accenture have gone digital and green. So I believe all their correspondence now is all online as opposed to printing. So how did they wanted to talk about that, and they wanted to talk about that to potentially new recruits. So they had a huge open day in Ireland, and they gave out our seeded paper in an envelope with a kind of a flyer inside and a pencil to talk about their sustainability ambitions. And I guess, you know, speaking to Generation Z, who I think are looking for a purpose from a company more than anything now.
Yes.
Yes. So yeah, right. Does that kind of give you a flavour of how the product?
Yeah, that's great. We're seeing some really varied usage there, really creative usage, and interesting, and of course, great to see the seed sticks in use, and you can do so on the website, which we'll flag up in a moment or two. But I wanted to ask you then, Jamie, about how you have acquired the clients that you do have, because as you've talked about, it's a diverse bunch, and it's pretty unique product. But have people simply discovered it, and then have you grown?
No.
So
well,
what proactive steps did you take then?
Well, when I first started, I was so proactive. You wouldn't believe. I went to every, I don't want to say whore myself out because it's early in the morning, but I went to every networking event, took every opportunity, said yes to pretty much everything, just because you never know who you're going to meet, you know, what you're going to stumble across. And I would read papers, magazines, and I would just, I didn't do a lot of cold calling. I did a lot of email.
Right.
I think I'm not a copywriter by any stretch of the imagination, but I seemed to have managed to write an emotive email. But now starting a new company, I think the motive anyway for people. So I had a lot of responses. I would, you know, I'd read a magazine and I'd choose who I think our products would fit and how. And I would write to the top of the tree.
Yeah.
So I'd write to Ella's Kitchen, so Paul Linley, who's since sold the company. I wrote an email directly to him, and he replied and put me in touch with his marketing, head of marketing, and they ordered 50,000 units. So I think in the very beginning, I had the time, and I was very much going to every networking event, you know, socialising with whoever I could, and but doing email marketing, but from a very personal point of view.
Yes.
And then as the business started to grow, and you know, I more money came into the business, I started to look at clever ways that I could then reach more people, whether it's SEO, PPC, newsletters, and we've got a lot smarter now. So. About 2 years ago, I'd get very few inquiries to the website. We're probably getting 10 to 15 a day now. And it's not through spending a huge amount of money, it's just being smarter and targeting people in a clever way. In the beginning, you know, kind of drop yourself into the deep end is what I did. I was never that comfortable speaking in front of people. But in terms of a business point of view, I've never minded like socialising with people, just go and talk to anyone, and that doesn't really bother me. But from a business point of view, because I think I didn't really understand if I knew everything, and someone might ask me something that I didn't know. So I've really changed that because I believe in this product and I believe in the business. I would just go and approach a person or a group of people, and just throw myself in and really not care what they would think, because I've got a great product, and that really helped. I had a tangible product that when I was explaining what I was doing, and I could show people this seed stick, it was a great, oh wow, that's cool, I like that. I hope that answers some of your questions.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting that you simply got on with it, you cracked on, you made personal direct approaches to people, you went for the top of the tree, as it were, and you told them about the company, and obviously it was authentic and emotive as well. So that doesn't necessarily have to be about following a copywriting
No, and it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy at all. I had a lot of no replies or we're not interested. I just kind of kept my head up and just kept going.
Yeah, and that's an interesting one as well. It's kind of like going just getting it out there, and I love the way that you mentioned that you told people why you thought it was a good fit for them as well, because I mean, a lot of people they get so excited about their product, but they don't necessarily relate it to their potential customers. So,
and because also, Jamie, one last thing, because I manufacture this product, you know, I can give it away for free. So I did a lot of pro bono, which may sound silly, given that I was, you know, a one-man band 2.5 years ago, but it opened so many doors. So I donated products to charities. And then I got invited to that event because I thought I was going to get invited, but I just thought it was a nice thing to do.
Yes.
It might get some exposure. And then I'd go to these events and I'd meet people who I would otherwise not have met. And so, in one instance, it led me to Clarence House, where I was eating beef stroganoff in Prince Charles's living room. And presenting a seed stick to him. So you just... So I've done that a few times. I did it last night for the agency I was talking to you about. But, yeah, I've donated, you know, probably 4 or 5 times. Not a huge amount, because it still does cost me. But, you know, I just think some pro bono and like a goodwill gesture can go a long way with people.
Yeah, most definitely. That sounds really effective, and sometimes it's simply open doors that you didn't necessarily expect to open by doing it, but it has done. Super. And so, Jamie, you manufacture the products yourself. You manufacture seed sticks. And has that been challenging in terms of that process and getting it going and then scaling it up to meet the demand, which has obviously grown dramatically in the 2.5 years since you launched the business?
Sorry, Jamie, you broke up a little bit then. Would you mind repeating the question?
I'm sorry, yeah. So, as a manufacturer of the product, has that been a smooth process, or have there been challenges in terms of scaling up to meet demand has grown in the 2.5 years?
Well, we have a part-time production manager, so we're nowhere near capacity, which is great. I mean, there's room there. Manufacturing isn't easy at all. You know, we sell products that we don't manufacture, and it is, you know, so much easier to act as a middleman. But obviously, the margins aren't high. But the beauty of manufacturing is you're flexible. And, you know, we've just launched 24 new shapes or different shapes for the seed sticks. So fundamentally, the seed stick was a square or a rectangle. That's kind of how a matchbook has always looked. And what we did about, well, I had the idea about 18 months ago to try and create new, it's a hell of a lot of work, but try and create shapes that would fit across every industry within the UK, the top industries. So, you know, car, aerospace, tech, etc. And obviously being a manufacturer allowed me to just go and create all those shapes, allowed me to go and buy the die cutting tools, allowed me to slightly amend some of the machinery that we have. I guess that's the beauty, I guess, of manufacturing. You can be somewhat more flexible. And we have a really niche product. You know, no one else makes it yet. So, yeah, manufacturing isn't easy. You know, there's a lot of you know, buying of the product and looking at your margins and fluctuations in cost of your kind of key elements. Especially, we buy stuff from, you know, buy a lot of seed from Europe, and the pound and against the euro can affect us. But we're trying to buy as much as we can from the UK. You know, we get the combs from Cornwall, and we get printing done in Bristol. So manufacturing, we do about 200,000 to 300,000 products a month. I'd say 150,000 to 200,000 of those are seed sticks. So it's fundamentally massive importance to us, and we will continue to manufacture. We've just actually invested in a new machine to kind of automate and speed up the booking process, which puts the printed cover onto the sticks. we've got so many issues with it. We're just trying to iron out if things go wrong, and yeah. So
yes, oh well.
But I wouldn't change it because that product gave me the footing into this space.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, that's fascinating, Jamie. Can you tell me, and I'm going to have to do some quick-fire questions now, because we've only got about 3 minutes left, and I'd really love to get you on again in the future to talk again with us. But what were you doing before setting up the business in 2016, and what made you take the jump to do this?
I used to work in advertising. Mm. So I've worked broadly in marketing. I worked in advertising, and I worked for a guy who was quite proactive, and he said to me on my first day, "How's your client?" I was like, "What do you mean, how's my client? I haven't called." And he's like, "Call them." So he kind of gave me a lot of the tools to go off on my own.
Yes.
He gave me a lot of confidence to pick up the phone, be proactive, own your space.
Right.
So that kind of gave me the. And before that, I was very much mollycoddled and blanketed. I used to work for huge WPP,
yep.
You've probably heard of. One of their agencies, and I used to work in client services. And but you'd be looked after. You were kind of just a cog in the. You were just a process. Whereas when I moved to this startup agency, my last job, it was you had your own client. I had my own client before. You owned that client. You own a relationship, you delivered the creative, you worked with the creative team, and it was like spread your wings, and it kind of gave me the impetus to kind of go off my own.
Yes. Yeah, well, that's so interesting that you say that, especially in the context of the interview that we've had before you this morning as well, which I'll send you the podcast. So, yeah. But again, I'm going to have to ask for a rapid-fire answer to this, I'm afraid, and I know you'd have loads that you could say, but can you give me any tips on exporting or finding an international distributor? Because I think that would be really interesting to listeners in terms of how you
I'll do it quickly. So international distribution we're still working on, but in terms of tapping into export, find yourself a good DIT, DTI, I'll get wrong around, person, point of contact. I had one previously who didn't obviously believe in what I was doing, and he wasn't great. And the guy I've got now, David Taylor, is fantastic, and he's given me support. I've flown to Vegas. He gives me £500 travel allowance to Vegas, to Paris, mm-hmm. and we've got a show in Dusseldorf, and he's given me £1,500 for an exhibition there. So find yourself a good point of contact.
Right, grand. Okay, that's really helpful. Well, Jamie,
I could have gone on.
Well, I'd love to invite you back, as I say, and hear more about how Seedsticks are going and how Buddy Burst continues to grow. Grow being an apt word, I think.
Yeah.
Can you give us the website address, Jamie?
Yeah, it's don't say that anymore. Buddyburst.com. That's BuddyBurst.com, and we're on Twitter @BuddyBurst and Instagram @Buddy_Burst. So yeah, look us up.
Right, super. Find you there. Okay, and I'll round up with a sort of 30-second answer, if that's okay. And is there anything that you know now that you wish you'd known when you launched, or any advice, or anything that we've missed that you'd like to say in 30 seconds? Which could simply be go and look you up online. But is there anything else that I've missed asking you?
I don't think you have to look me up online. But I was going to say that, one thing is spend money. Don't be too tight. When I first started, I was hard up, really hard up for cash, and I was even trying to do my tax return. Try and give up parts of your business that you're not great at, and other people are qualified to do. I know it can be painful to relinquish that money, but for example, I'm not an accountant. People are trained to be an accountant. Let them do your tax return.
Yes.
You focus on what you're good at, which was for me is sales and running the business. So, and it took me a long time to learn that, giving up, whether it's IT or accountancy or whatever.
Yes.
And I've started to now do that, and the business is flourishing as a result. So that's probably one thing I'd give as advice.
That is fantastic advice, and it is very hard sometimes for people to do, but I know from talking to lots of people on the show, when they do that, they can flourish. So Jamie Gray, founder and CEO of Bodyburst, thank you so much for joining me on the programme today, and all the best with the future.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thanks. You too, Jamie. Thank you. Cheers.
Bye-bye.
And you've been listening to Business Live, our weekly business and social enterprise programme here on Sheffield Live. We've had a fantastic packed programme today. We were just speaking with Jamie Gray, founder and CEO of Bodyburst, and hearing all about their seed sticks. Super. Earlier on, we heard from Rob Sandham and Greg Clark, creative director and MD of Uber, the agency, not the cab firm. And we heard from Alan Holland of Dark Peak. If you've only just tuned in, you've missed our guests. Panic not. The podcast will be up on the Sheffield Live website from about 11 a.m. today. So check it out there. And that's it for this week, but don't go away now, because next up on Sheffield Live is our fantastic folk music programme. Thank goodness it's folk from 10 all the way through to noon. So enjoy that. We'll be back on air next Friday, though, as I say, so tune in then as well. Thank you to our guests, Greg, Rob, Alan and Jamie. Thank you for listening, and thanks Sangeeta in the studio as our sound engineer. We're going to play out with a track chosen by our last guest, Jamie Gray. We're going to play out with The Strokes.
This is Sheffield Live.
We're open for business live.